Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. So many reasons why I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook, and it's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay, and you can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, May 19th, and the conference finals are underway. We're talking about Warriors Mavs. We're talking about Heat Celtics. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my best buds on the internet in real life, Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
The Jethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's that, Bubba?
This guy, your shit got funny again all of a sudden.
I've been putting a little razzle dazzle on you. Feel me?
That razzle dazzle is doing his job, man. Sheesh.
I'm Guardy B, aka Mike, and let's talk about that Warriors Mavs game that was on tonight. I don't think, were either of you surprised that the Warriors won that game easily?
No. I mean, I've got the Warriors winning this series. Like, you know, Luka's phenomenal, but. We saw the well-oiled machine that the Golden State Warriors are, right? And I think they had, what, 7 players in double digits tonight? Like, everybody got off. Like everyone who played except for, like, 2. They ran up the whole fucking roster. Everyone got playing time tonight. I think everyone but, like, 2 guys scored. So it was just one of those games where they were just clicking on all cylinders, and it was the, okay, these are the Warriors that we know playing team ball, playing as one. And, you know, it's Luka. And, you know, of course, you know, Luka's got some help with Dinwiddie and Brunson, but it ain't the Warriors, bro. You know what I mean? So, I mean, where I'm at with the series, I think Luka is good enough to maybe get you two here. And that's giving Luka a whole damn lot of credit. You
that's
know what
a
I
lot.
Mean? That's a lot of damn credit. I want to say five, but Luka just showed his ass last series, right? So it's all up into six. But yeah, I think the Warriors win this series, you know, handily for sure.
The team defense the Warriors play is just
phenomenal.
No, seriously, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Luka was seeing 2-3 people thrown at him. You know what I'm saying? They switched bodies, you know, kept a fresh body on him at all times. He struggled in that second half, you know what I mean? But yeah, like for me, I was looking at that shit when, I don't know if y'all noticed, when Steph was kind of struggling and he missed like 4 free throws. The last one he missed at the end of the second quarter, Luka was like kind of woofing him a little bit. I don't know if y'all peeped it. And then he just lost his fucking mind. And I'm like, listen here, Bubba. This ain't Booker, okay? Right. This ain't that Devon Booker. This ain't an everyday light-skinned nigga you fucking with. This is a demon. That's a devil. You know what I'm saying? All right? And you need to keep it real cool when you addressing Mr. Curry, because that's Mr. Curry to you right now, dog. You feel me? But no, that's... I think, you know, when it comes to the series, you know, after last series, Luka, anything Luka does won't surprise me. So if he gets some 2-3, you know, goes 6 or 7, it won't truly surprise me. But I see them getting him out at 5-6 because that Warriors team is just too experienced and they're too good. One thing I look at, too, when watching him is Jordan Poole. Like, and with Klay not looking like Klay, and they might have to finagle some shit to get Jordan Poole a bag, he might be the second Splash Brother, and maybe deservedly at some point, you know, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I think it was for sure a hot take to say Poole was better than Steph, but I don't think it's that hot of a take to say he's better than Klay this postseason. I don't think it is, man.
Yeah, no. I agree with that. I'm not going to overreact to game one, especially because the Mavs obviously coming off of a game 7 where they held the turbo button down the whole game and, you know, a lot of emotion, everyone feeling good about that. They're at a new stage for this incarnation of that franchise, obviously. But I will say I saw a lot more from Andrew Wiggins on Luka than I thought I was going to. And we'll see game 2. You know, I mean, I think for a team that's as young as they are, the Mavs, I mean, they've lost game 1 of both of the previous 2 series, and clearly are a team that understands the flow of a playoff series. They're not going to overreact to this, and I don't really think this has that big of a impact on the series at large. But I will say I was really impressed with Wiggins on Luka. I didn't expect them to have a guy that was going to be able to bother him for stretches the way that Wiggins did tonight.
I was impressed. I mean, we're all old enough to remember on the scouting reports when Wiggins was at Kansas, they were like, this guy could be first team all defense. Like, he could be a defensive stopper, you know, an elite defense stopper in this league. And it didn't quite pan out that way, but he showed some sparks tonight, and he's shown some all season. Like, he's been taking some good steps, you know, with the Warriors. He's really reinvented himself, because a lot of us thought that boy was done. You know what I mean? But when we talked about that before, but he for sure reinvented himself with the Warriors. That's what happens when you get with a good system, a good culture, and all that shit.
For sure. I think like Mikal Bridges is like a better defender than any of the defenders that are on the Warriors as far as guard defense. But there's a big drop off after Mikal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they were throwing Jordan Poole on them. They threw Klay on them. They threw Wiggins on them. So they kept good, solid defenders, fresh bodies on them. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I mean, it made basketball look real difficult for Luka. So. But good for Wiggins, though. I mean, also, he got some big buckets, too, and he played really good last series as well. He seemed like he was kind of, you know, hitting another, you know, looking like Wiggins, the normal Wiggins, towards the end of the season. But he picked it back up, so good for him, you know what I mean?
So I mentioned to you guys that Shar and I have friends who are Warriors fans. They're from San Francisco, lifelong Giants-Warriors fans. And as they have pointed out to me, in the early 2000s, when all of the other basketball fans in Southern California were Northern California were Kings bandwagon fans, they were still Warriors fans, even when it was a stupid decision to be so. And our friends got season tickets, and I was texting with him when he was at the game today, and he admitted, he was like, I feel almost guilty about this. It was like, we had a golden age. And this is not a team where, like, none of us who are really fans of this team for like decades thought we were going to get a golden age the way we got. And he's like, I didn't think we were going to be Like, we have to beat a team who's in the conference finals for the first time that any of those guys have ever played in the conference. That's who we have to beat with home court advantage to get back to the finals with Steph and Clay and Dre. And oh, we've got the young talent and the surprising reinvent. Like, he like can't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's for sure. Like, you know, you hear that bullshit. We're not rebuilding, we're reloading. I'm like, bro, that doesn't happen. Like the Spurs are the only team in our lifetime you could ever really say did that, right? And it seems like the Warriors are on pace, you know, like this is the second act of perhaps, you know, that dynasty. So we'll see.
I'm interested in a friend of volume, Draymond Green's pod when after they get that chip, though. Don't let us win a chip. I want to see how that goes, man. It might get real fun.
We share a check signer as well as a producer with Draymond Green. Jackson, how hectic is it attempting to keep Draymond's podcast on the fucking rails?
Oh, there is no attempt to keep it on the rails. In fact, I'm not going to give any details because Dre changed his mind about it. But over this past weekend, he wanted to call me about a pod idea, which is rare. He has a lot of input, obviously, to the show, but he doesn't like call me out of the blue to be like, let's discuss a thing.
Not the way we do. Not
the way that you guys are. I have daily reminders to me about my producing uh-huh. movies. But we talked through this idea. I was very excited. He was going to talk some stuff about some people. And then we got on the record the next day. And I was like, so are we doing that? He's like, no, changed my mind. Like, I want to just like stay focused on the basketball and the whatever, whatever. And I was like, really? Like that, it'd be pretty fun. It'd be pretty good content. He was like, no, it's okay. Like, he wasn't like, he was very calm, but he was just like, no,
it's a chip okay. year now. It's a chip year now.
Right. Exactly. They're very focused. They're very focused on the basketball. Even for people who are like, don't do the pod, focus on the game. I mean, he's like, fuck that. But he doesn't want to like do any of the other stuff. So it's actually the opposite. I try to like prod when I can.
Okay.
And he,
what do people think that NBA players do all the time?
That's like, what my exact response was.
Is he supposed to like just be basketball every fucking minute? Yeah, I think you'd have a lot of free time outside of practice.
But did you see how much people freaked out when they thought Luka had a beer today? Like, people were on Twitter like, oh, he's drinking on the day of a game. It's like, he's from Slovakia. They have beer with their fucking...
At halftime. Like, he has a...
That's their mouthwash after they brush their teeth.
You know what I mean? Like,
they have that should be a beer that on the bench. You know what I mean? Time at kindergarten and shit.
You feel me? Right? You know what I mean? It's in the water fountain in like elementary schools. You fuck you mean? Like, ridiculous.
Jackson, did you see Draymond win the game tonight and then run out on the to sit on the desk with the inside the NBA guys?
I did. That was pretty amazing. I've never seen a player do that outside of like when they win like the championship or something and they like have bring someone on. Yeah, he was outside. Yeah. I've never seen anyone do that. I thought it was pretty awesome.
I think like how he's approaching all this is brilliant, G. Win a chip. You got a fucking popping ass podcast. Like number one, I saw was the number one podcast, like sports podcast. You
because
feel me?
It's so well produced.
So well. Yeah, good job, Jackson. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
And then you got this TNT bag waiting for you too. Like, dog, get that. Do all of that shit, bro. I'd love to see it.
Let's talk about the Heat Celtics. Game one was yesterday.
We can skip this, actually.
What's that?
We don't have to. We don't actually have to.
Well, Jackson, while we've got you on.
While you're here.
While we got you here, bud, just wanted to loop you in on a group conversation about the Heat Celtics. Tyler, John, were you surprised by this game? Either of you?
Yes. Yes and no. Yes, I was surprised that the Celtics let it get away from them, but no, I wasn't surprised by how it got away from them, because like we talked about, they're still a team that is not executing playoff championship basketball, and we saw that with how the game got away from them, you know, late in the second half of that game. So yeah, I was surprised that it got away from them, but not in the way that it did, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
One thing, too, is like, I love Tatum. I love Jaylen Brown. Obviously, I talk about Tatum all the time. You know, probably my favorite, my favorite player in the league, but they have moments when they're just so loose with the ball. So, and it's, and like, you know, so like
and they're young. I know they're, you know, yeah.
They're pounding the fuck out of the rock. It's like they're dribbling it up by their ear and shit. Like they're just too turned up.
Right. You're trying to split defenses with the you know, dribbling the ball at your chest. It's just, and so like these moments where they show their immaturity, where they're good enough to do it. They just don't have the experience yet. You know what I'm saying? Where they take their foot off the pedal or just lose focus. You can't do that, especially against a Spo coach team. You know right. what I'm saying? You just can't do that. They're going to abuse that. And I was surprised by the first half, how hot that came out, where they were getting everything they wanted at the cup, you know, getting every shot they wanted, basically. And then the second half, how they, like, you know, Spo, you know, clogged all that shit up that was getting in the lane. And it just, I think they had 14 in the quarter or
they're slow to readjust. Like they scored 12, I believe, in the third quarter. And they're slow to counterpunch. It's like, you know, Spo makes the adjustment, clogs up the lane. Well, we're going to score 12 points in 12 minutes. You know, and like you said,
quarter of struggling. You know what I'm saying? I get the first 5 or 6 minutes.
I think Tatum take 3 shots the whole quarter? Because you've pointed that out. You've pointed that out, that it's like they're not disciplined offensively. Like if it starts going wrong, it's going to go super wrong for a while.
I think he had more turnovers and points that quarter.
He had 6 turnovers in the third quarter.
Sheesh.
7 towards the end. I think he had 1 in the first
finished
half.
Finished with so 7 like, and he had 6 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's not ideal. Jackson, were you surprised by the way that went? And as a Celtics fan, how are you? Like, are you shrugging that game off or are you worried about that series?
I was a little surprised it unraveled for so long. The Celtics did not convert a made field goal until the 4 or 5 minute mark in the third quarter. That's a long time for a struggle like that. It was like the worst quarter of the season offensively. So I agree that they get a little sloppy, but I was surprised that it went on for that long. As far as the rest of the series, I'm not going to say I'm shrugging it off because Jimmy Butler is clearly turned into God, but the Celtics won the other 3 quarters. They did. And also Marcus Smart was out and he's going to be back for game 2. Horford's likely not, which is a bummer, but Marcus Smart playing 38 minutes means that instead of 30 Peyton Pritchard minutes, there's probably 14 of them. So him getting picked on is just not as much of an issue. Especially if you can try to match the Pritchard minutes to when Butler is sitting, which is not that many of those minutes, but if you can do that, like what, I mean, that
they were
that
hunting
problem,
that dude for sport.
Peyton, he has to be like a flamethrower for it to make sense for being to be on the court. Cause they just saw food every time he was in front of them. Like, go get you a bucket.
Right. And he was good offensively. Actually, he actually was
the first,
good.
He's not
can't hang with the, on defense against a team like the Heat. That's as smart as the Heat are.
And I wanted to say that I was like, what is Jimmy Butler going to do? He's going to guard Tatum on one end and then get 40 on the other. Like that's going to happen. That's exactly what the fuck he did. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see if he can continue to do that. But I mean, he did it in game 1. So I mean, that was,
we had some rare tension in the group chat over this game.
Bro, y'all made up some salient points. No, you know what I mean? No, like also like me going from like Duke to being a Celtics fan is just unfortunate. So unfortunate. But I'm not rooting for the Celtics. I'm rooting for Tatum. But it's just, it's so.
Accept it into your life, John. Just accept it.
Bro, I just can't get away from the Caucasus Mountains. They follow me wherever I go. Caucasity just won't leave me alone. It won't leave me be. Jesus Christ, though. But yeah.
But I think we got to talk about that motherfucking Jimmy Butler, man. Like, like it seems like every regular season I'm like, yeah, man, Jimmy Butler's best years might be behind him. Then every postseason he spazzes the fuck out, bro. And you know, I think it's a little bigger than Jimmy. You know what I mean? Because Jimmy has been, you know, he's a fucking mid-range monster this postseason. Like that right elbow has been money, right? So like mid-range and clamping up on defense. If you do that in the postseason, you're gonna be just fine, regardless of how, you know, you might have been slumping in the regular season. Like we saw that last year with Middleton, right? Like motherfuckers would get, like he was eating so much in the mid range that motherfuckers were like, yo, this might be the Batman of this team. Giannis might be the Robin. We saw that fucking 2020 with AD when he went crazy in the mid range. We saw that 2019 when Kawhi went crazy in the mid range, right? Like I think that as much as the game evolves to where it's, you know, 3-point bucket or layup, that mid-range is going to always be what you can fucking hang your hat on to get a championship, bro. Like, that's never going to change, dog.
And a bucket's a bucket, G.
Yeah.
If you can get a bucket, no matter how you get it, you know what I'm saying? If you go to the mid-range, you get a bucket. If you can shoot that shit. It's like, you know, KD was talking about. You know what I'm saying? He plays basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy's fun. Jimmy in the playoffs is fun. He's a different animal. I don't know if it's the way that the game changes or if it's just that he's just one of those guys that he just feels differently about the playoffs. I think it's probably a little bit of both, but he definitely just seems like he's the type of asshole who lives for the playoffs, right? He's living for the Tobias Harris over me.
Oh, man. Is there anybody more underrated than Jimmy? Because we talk about Booker not getting respect and all that shit, but Jimmy, bro.
I think he's correctly rated during the regular season because I just don't. I mean, when I watch a Heat game, he's just a different player in the playoffs. You can't take your eyes off him in a playoff game. He's just a completely different monster. And so I think we rate him correctly when the playoffs come and you're like, oh, this dude is can't miss television. But I don't feel bad about not putting him up in the top level of dudes during the regular season. Personally,
we don't hear anybody talking about Jimmy. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody ever talks about when we bring up Jimmy. It's like they showed the clip of him getting frustrated. You know what I'm saying? Bad teammate, all this shit. Jimmy, when it's time to get buckets, is a bucket. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to start talking about that. So that's, I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Booker. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying that Jimmy does what he needs to do.
Who would you take in the playoffs?
You say, oh, shit. You talk about, I mean, Jimmy. Like, I mean, Jimmy's been proven to be a dog in the biggest moments. You know what I'm saying? And what he did with against the Lakers was incredible. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hated
going crazy, but
I hated him in that whole series.
20. I mean, he's averaging what 22 points a game with off of 50% regular season.
And they got the one seed. It's not like they were taking the right. It's not like
those
they were taking
are
the
good
season
numbers.
So but half of his games in the playoffs, he scored 40.
But his regular season. Those are great numbers in the regular season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think he's just a prime example of, you know, how much, regardless of how much the game evolves, you're not going to win in the playoffs if you don't work the mid-range, if you don't play defense, and if you don't execute in the half court. No matter how much the game evolves, if you don't do that 1948-ass basketball shit right there, right, you're not going anywhere, bro.
And without playing a style that doesn't transport to the playoffs like some free throw hunters we could name, he's also getting to the free throw. I think he was 18 and 19 from the free throw line in the first game. I think he had his 40 points was on like 19 shots, right? 18, 19 shots. Like,
yeah,
that works too, because he's not dancing around the perimeter. Like, he's genuinely
attacking.
He's forcing contact. He's forcing fouls, and not in the way that Grant Williams, who's my least favorite basketball player in the fucking NBA right now.
Oh my God.
Not in the way that he's forcing contact by actively throwing himself under the tires of speeding semi trucks and hoping to get a fucking call, but by driving the ball and forcing people to defend him and getting to the foul line.
Y'all just mad because he got Giannis the fuck up out of here. Grant Williams is what did it. You know what I mean?
One of the charges he tried to take on Bam that they correctly called a blocking foul was the textbook perfect example of why they need to legislate this shit out of the fucking game, because Bam ended up, he only didn't horribly injure his ankle because he allowed himself to just fall on top of Grant Williams instead of planting his foot. And I think he ended up elbowing Grant Williams or kicking him in the face and knocking his head into the ground. But it's like, who is this good for? You want guys trying to defend Giannis like this in the NBA?
Bro, I get that, but there's no other way to guard Giannis and just like, that's the only way to approach
that. Just falling under his feet and hoping they call an offensive foul.
No, I'm just saying, like, when he, I'm talking about Giannis bangs a lot. So just trying to absorb that, take the charge. I get that with Giannis. I mean, you don't need to do that with everybody, but I mean, wait till Lowry comes back. It's going to be a fucking charge mania around this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Bro,
that motherfucker flopped off of a Max Struss like you know, move to the side. Yep. Did y'all see that shit?
Yes, I did. And I that was when I started yelling obscenities at my fucking television. Yeah, Max, get this fucking dude off the court, bro.
Yeah. Fuck Grant Williams, man. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if that's his only resort against guarding Giannis. I just can't fuck. The man flopped when they were battling for position, bro. Like, that is just, no. It's. I mean, I get the whole, yeah, it's smart to take charges and shit, but, bro, it's like, at what point are you being a bitch about it, bro? Like, you're flopping when you're battling for position. You flopping when Max Struss is tapping you on your back. Like, it's too much, bro.
I was glad to see that the officials are on to him. The book is out there on Grant Williams.
Not on our watch, Grant.
All right, I'm sorry. I had to get that off my fucking chest.
You could wait to the pod because of that moment right there, bro. You and Tyler going in on fucking Grant Williams. Good for y'all.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. We've used Angie at my house. We had some work done. We had some painting done. We were able to find a bunch of really qualified people with good rates through Angie and pick someone we were really happy with. It was super easy to use the app, super easy to connect with someone. We got the call right away, so we didn't have to sit around and wait.
Your one-stop shop, Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie gets the difficulties that come with home projects. Why not make it as simple as possible to tackle that project? Turn to Angie with confidence, even for major renovations or emergency repairs.
Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com, or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. Big game tonight, obviously, between the Heat and the Celtics. I think it's going to be a repeat of Game 1, so I would take the Heat. And if I was building a same game parlay, I would take the under, and I would take the under on player props for the Celtics because I think the Heat are going to lock them down again. New to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JANJ. Once again, that's promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA.
Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. We are to Grant Williams as Pat Bev is to Chris Paul. And I want to talk about Pat Bev, and I want to give Tyler a chance. And Jackson, if you want to cut this out for social media, you can title it In Defense of Hatred. Yes. Tyler, the floor is yours.
Look, man, I have thoroughly enjoyed the Pat Bev hate tour. This man flew cross country, woke up at 4:30 in the morning, put on a collared shirt, and went to go talk some shit about his sworn enemy during the lowest point of his season. I love shit like that. That is dedication, bro. And all that shit about, oh, Pat Bev isn't on Chris Paul's level, he can't say that. Bro, that doesn't fucking matter. It's funny. That's all that fucking matters. And that motherfucker is in the NBA, bro. Truth be told, if we're going to play it like that, none of us have a right to talk shit about anybody. Because Pat Bev is closer to Chris Paul than any of us commenting on this shit are close to past Pat Bev. You know what I'm saying? Pat Bev will bust everybody's ass who's saying he shouldn't be talking shit about Chris Paul. So, and I just don't get why, of all people, Chris Paul. It's the one who people are like, oh, this is too far. Chris Paul, like, he's not even a likable dude, bro. Like, I could understand if motherfucker was like, oh, you can't talk about Tim Duncan like this. Like, everyone loves Timmy. But Chris Paul, like, this is where we got to fucking pull out the resumes and compare resumes and pull out spreadsheets and go to trial about who gets to talk about Chris Paul. No, look, the motherfucker was weak as hell in like the last four games of that series. He was a fucking traffic cone, like Pat Bev said. And look, and there's a difference, right? Like, people are like, well, you know, Pat Bev wasn't really hating. He was telling the truth. Yes, he was telling the truth. He was also hating. Like, the truth can come out of you from a place of hate. And I say that as a lifelong hater of a lot of shit.
As a hating ass
thing. I say that and from a place of hate, that yes, the truth can come from a place of hate. Like, Pat Bev was pulling up, ask him about how I busted his ass in a high school camp. You can ask LeBron. That's some hating shit. Like, cool. You busted his ass in high school. That was 2002, bro. It's like 20 years later. But like I said, I love it. I do not do the whole police and all, you don't get to talk about that guy because you're not as good as that guy, because fuck that. Because like if we live like that, only 20 people in the world will be able to talk shit about Chris Paul. And I do not want to live in a world where only 20 people can clown Chris Paul. I want to clown Chris Paul. I want to see other people clowning Chris Paul. So fuck all that shit, man.
John has nothing to add to that. The only thing I would add to that is this is what we can do. Chris Paul can play basketball at the level that Chris Paul can. We can't do that. We can talk shit. That is the route that is available to us. And to self-limit that for Chris, and as you said, for Chris Paul, because he Chris only Paul? Kicked 14 people in the dick instead of 16 people, we have to be right. polite to him. Like, what?
That's a whole lot of dicks, man. I think at some point you should go to jail when you punch that many dicks. There should be like, you have to spend a night. Like, yeah, you can't.
Serial dick assault.
You get to 8 dicks, it's like, you know, you got one night at least in the hooscow. You know what I mean? Come on, G.
But we do have to discuss somehow, despite the fact that he cut a vacation short to hate, Pat Bev might not been the most hating ass person around the NBA, because I have to find the exact tweet that Little Wayne posted about Mark.
God, piss in your mouth? Is that what he said? Or face?
He said, Mark Cuban, don't make me get you smacked, boy. You playing with me? I will piss in your fucking mouth.
Calling somebody a hoe, like. I like, dog, that's some throwback disrespect. You know, we don't fuck nigga now. We ain't called nobody a hoe in a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some different shit. That sound kind of personal.
God. And what's crazy is I vividly remember fucking Weezy and Birdman partying with Mark Cuban when they won that shit in Miami 2011. And it's like, now you want to urinate in the guy's mouth? I mean, wow. Like, how did we get here, bro? All because, right? All because fucking, you know, Mark Cuban retweeted, you know, the tweet where he called Luke a hoe. He's been calling everybody a hoe lately, now that I think about it. He called Luke a hoe. He called Cuban a hoe. Like, Ho might be, he might be bringing Ho back. But he called him.
Keep that shit where it's at, man.
Yeah, we on fuck nigga right now.
I love fuck nigga
it's
way too much, bro. We
basketball is
that.
On fuck nigga. But,
bro. What did that weird ass nigga say? What did he say? That was. Bro, a well-placed fuck nigga ain't nothing better than that, dog.
No.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That is a, that was such a well-placed fuck nigga. Yeah. And she had to be country. That's a, that,
she got his dog, ass.
She got his ass.
But oh, yeah, it's wild.
I don't think I've ever been angry enough at someone to tell them that I would pee in their mouth. Mm. I don't think those words have ever, I don't think they've ever even been in my head. And then I've had to like not say them.
I don't even do the, I've never been a fan of the suck my dick talk as an insult. Like, I don't want, if I don't like you, why don't I put my dick in your mouth? Like,
right.
I don't want my penis anywhere around you if I don't like you, dude. You know?
I don't know.
So like,
there have been times.
All right.
Don't want to talk, but you know, maybe.
Okay, that's the hoop talk. I want to know what you guys think, because I think we've all been on a journey with this new Kendrick project, and I'm curious as to where you both ended up. Tyler has been in the place that I aspire to be with all art, which is considered upon its own merits, everything has value, both intellectually and emotionally, et cetera. And Tyler got to that place with the Kendrick double album, which
I did.
I would like to hear about.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't talk about this last episode because I'd have given like a whole different
fried that motherfucker.
Yeah, it didn't hit me on the first listen. It didn't hit me on the first four or five listens, I want to say. Like, it took me until like Monday night to before it really, really hit me. And I'm in love with it now. You know, like I said, it's not an album that I would necessarily use the word enjoy about, right? Because it's a very personal, very vulnerable album where Kendrick invites us into a lot of uncomfortable conversations, right? So like, I mean, like, for instance, I think that Mother Eyes Sober is like the crowning achievement of that album. I wouldn't say I enjoy it. I can't enjoy, you know, Kendrick talking about the ripple effects of his mother being, you know, molested. Like, mm-hmm. But I appreciate the artistry of it. It hits you in a very, you know, deep spot. I appreciate the, you know, that aspect of it. But I wouldn't say I enjoy it. I wouldn't say I, quote unquote, enjoy a lot of the album because, like I said, the subject matter is real heavy. But it took me like five or six listens for it to really, really set in. And I think it's some of his best work, bro. That's where I'm at with it.
Wow. I think, I don't know if it's, when I first heard it, I was like, maybe this is his Yeezus. That was my first thought. I was talking to my homies about it too. Like, you know, like some other homies, I was like, you know, maybe this is his Yeezus, but I didn't think the music really was, it didn't really push music anywhere, which I think Yeezus did, you know what I mean? Even though I didn't really necessarily like that sound, I think it pushed music to a particular place. But I don't think it was that, but I remember thinking like, this is an album he wanted to make. And I think he wanted to make an album that the world needed more than the world wanted. And I was talking to some homies, and one of my homies said, like, it was a bunch of us, like four St. Louis niggas on a golf course this past Sunday. And one dude said, I've never been a dude that like, I need music, like, you know, is my life type motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But he said this album spoke to him in a way no other album has. Mm-hmm. And that he went to therapy talking about particular songs because it touched him in a particular way. And I'm like, okay. Like, so I'd listened to it a few times. I listened to it a couple times. I mean, I knew the first time I was like, you know, I didn't necessarily get it like Tyler was saying. I was looking for something totally different. I was extremely high, which is not the place to be listening to this, like the stories that he's telling. But I'm like, it's Kendrick. If it wasn't Kendrick, I wouldn't have gave it this amount of these many opportunities. But I was like, yo, the more I listened, the more I was like, there's something here. I don't necessarily know, but there's something here. And I don't know, are y'all familiar with Arthur Jaffa? Mm-mm. Like he creates these he collects like video, like visuals, like these, and he puts them all together and makes these really powerful visuals, like 45 minutes where he kind of like, you know, has music and like these, they're really cohesive, but they seem random at the same time, but they're really moving. And I feel like this kind of mimics that. It's truly art. And I understand how you're saying it's his best work artistically. The sound of it, I don't think touches me as much as other projects have, where I think like To Pimp a Butterfly was where like music and message, you know, were like perfect, right? I think he leaned way more into art. You know what I mean? Way more into like this being like more of an art project and him like than the music part. But and I was thinking, like, I remember saying, I think he leaned so far into the message that it hurt the music. But I think the approach was just different. But I truly appreciate it now. It feels, like my homie said, it feels different than any other album has ever felt that I've listened to.
Yeah.
And so maybe it is Yeezus where it pushes music to a place we haven't heard it. But I didn't appreciate Yeezus. I can appreciate this.
For sure.
That was a very long way of explaining about. Okay.
Yeah, it was, you know, like the conversation we had the night or the morning after it dropped, you know, we said, I was like, you know, it feels genuine. I don't feel like, you know, he's being artsy for the sake of being artsy. I feel like the art that's coming from him is genuine. So that's why I stuck with it, right? It didn't feel lazy. It didn't feel contrived. And of course, it's Kendrick. Kendrick has earned that good faith with me where I'm just not going to run his album one time and hang it up. No. But it's you know, after kind of, you know, just sitting with it and listening to it, it's like so much of Kendrick's work has been dealing with survivor's guilt. Like, you know, on Good Kid, Mad City, like, you know, the theme of that was, you know, he was, you know, grieving over growing up in an environment where a lot of his friends didn't make it out. You know, mm-hmm. To Pimp a Butterfly was like, yo, I made it out the hood. A lot of my homies haven't, right? Like
the
like
whole album. Yeah. You feel that. You
and
know what I mean?
Damn was like, you know, he was kind of grieving for himself a bit on Damn. He's like, yo, I might have lost myself in all of this fame. And it's like on Mr. Morale, it's like he unburdens himself of all that, it feels like. It feels like he's like, yo, you know, survivor's guilt, that's not my burden to bear anymore. He's like, I am not the anointed king, the voice of a generation that y'all want me to be either. He's like, and I don't give a fuck if y'all talk shit about me either. He's just like rebuking whatever title you try to bestow on him, good or bad. And it feels like it's from a place where it's more fatigue than like defiance, right? Like, there's a certain element of, yeah, you know, fuck y'all, I don't give a fuck what y'all think about me. That's there for sure. But it's also like, bro, I'm tired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I've been through so much. I'm fucking exhausted. I can't be all things to everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, he ends the album on Mirror saying, you know, I choose me. I'm sorry. Like, it's like, bro, I'm not going to be anyone. I'm not going to be for anyone but myself from here on out. Like, it seems like
How powerful is that?
Yeah.
How powerful is that? And that's one thing I want to say too, is like, I thought To Pimp a Butterfly was just so heavy, and I thought the music, you know, like, and the message in it was so strong, but I think this is his most powerful album, mm-hmm. probably because even though Damn was more about slaps and it seemed, you know, and Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly, they were, you know, very personal. But this is by far his most personal album.
For sure.
You know, he took, like, the things he was talking about in rap, rappers have never talked about before. Mm-hmm. Talking about being molested, you know, struggling with that himself. Like you said, he unburdened himself with the things that he was hiding from others. You know what I mean? And I mean, dog, it's such a brave way of making art and music. Like, he's just a true fucking artist.
Flat out.
And I think with this album, he's just not, you know, like the artist that I don't just view him as an artist. Like, as a musician, I just view him as an artist. He's not just a rapper. He's an artist. He makes art. And this is what it is. And I can't wait to see the visuals that come with this.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot. You know, PG Lang has been doing some crazy shit, but I can't wait to see what he does visually. And I've the last time I saw Kendrick live was when he was at Fader 4. Not Fader 4. It was at Fader 4. But it was at South By. He was there too, Tyler.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him since he blew up, for real. Like, since he, like, really, really blew up. But I really want to see the live performances that come with this shit, man. I think this, will be Kanye level. And I, you know, fuck Kanye, but you know, we'll be talking about him musically and his performances.
He elevated that special. Kind of yeah. a yeah.
very elevated. For sure. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's, you know, that touched my little nerdy ass, artistic ass, you know what I'm saying, heart. But I just, man, it was just such powerful, brave music. And I can't help but appreciate that. When I first heard it, I had my own expectations and, you know, going to it with a certain expectation. I knew it wasn't going to be the album that we talked about this. I don't think this would be the album I want. You know what I'm saying? And I, you know what I'm saying? But I think I'll be able to appreciate it. But it was just so different from anything I've ever heard. I couldn't process it. You know what yeah. I mean? It was hard to process. But, you know, whatever reason, the second and third run was just because it's Kendrick. But after that, it was like, I don't necessarily get it, but there's something here that's touching me. And like, the more I run into, the more beautiful it gets. Like, it's like peeling back the layers.
Yeah.
You know, and really, you know, it's just, it's a special, special project. And I don't know if there's any radio hits or, you know, like, or, you know, what I mean, but I just have never heard music. I don't know music, but I never heard rap music like this. He took rap to a place nobody's taken it before. And of course, Kendrick Lamar fucking did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Fucking artist of the generation. I remember when we were, when we saw him at Fader Fort, and I remember Solange was in fucking VIP, like bouncing in high heels to Fuck Your Ethnicity when he came on. This was before Kendrick was big. This was before Good Kid, Mad City. Yeah. And I was like, yo, Solange is really, really kind of tapped into this shit. But yeah, you know, I totally agree with everything you just said. And I just can't, Mother Eyes Sober. That is like, I won't argue with anyone who says that's the definitive Kendrick album of his career. Like, if someone says that's Kendrick's magnum opus, like, you won't get an argument from me out of that. It is just a phenomenal song because, you know, like I said, you know, the previous themes of his album were survivor's guilt. This album is like, yo, I'm realizing every burden ain't mine to bear. And they just, like, both collide on that song. You know what I mean? And they give us,
it's a therapy album.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Sure. I mean, it's both the album as therapy and also an album that could only have been produced by someone who has not just like bumped up against their own issues, but like grappled with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on the first track, he opens it up talking about he's going to therapy. Like, there's a little skit with him and his, you know, girl arguing about how he needs therapy and shit. So, yeah, you know, it's for sure that definitely.
And like we cry together. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's a difficult listen.
Yeah. I've only ran it like once. I have not gone back to that, bro. I don't think I need to hear it more than once.
I'll listen to it like halfway through it and I just can't. Like, I would listen to it rather. She's like, can we skip this? Like, you know, it's just a lot of energy in there. But I think it's important, like every piece, like it's an important part of the, you know, it's kind of like, I can't skip anything on this because I feel like, you know, song three is scene three. Song eight is scene eight.
You feel where, like you're fast forwarding through a movie.
Right. You know
something.
What I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to you know, listen to it like that. But it's, man, it's just, there's so many, like, the skits are so well thought out. And at first I was like, man, it's just shit corny. Like, I was like, it was just like this. It was so different from anything I'd heard from the genre that it was just hard to process, like I said. But man, I honestly can't believe, like, to be Kendrick Lamar where he's at and to take a risk like this. He's changed every album, mm-hmm. but this is just such a hard left turn, leaning into a space that, like, going to a place where nobody's been before and giving this to the people. But, special album. It really didn't hit me because I think Sunday I was playing golf with my dudes and they were talking shit like, this ain't what I think like Tuesday or Wednesday was like, but I haven't been able to play anything else. Today's Wednesday. Yeah. So it was yesterday. It was yesterday when it really, really started to get it, but I haven't been able to play anything else. I just can't, like, I just keep playing it over and over and over in the car. I keep playing it over and over in my headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I love Baby Keem's spots on it too. I like that interlude he had. He killed that shit. I love that chorus on Happy For Me. Killed that shit too. Because that last album was not it. But But he's doing
Baby
a great
King
job.
Baby King was trying to go to an interesting place. Yeah. So maybe, I think the next album will figure it out. I think it's kind of like, you know how somebody changes their sound? Mm. And, you know, the album they meant to make is the album after that album.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? When they fully understood it. I don't think he fully understood where he was trying to go. But I think he'll go somewhere special. I think Keem is really talented. But Kendrick didn't play around, bro. He went exactly where he was trying to go because he's fucking Kendrick Lamar. And there's only one of him. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. That was a great conversation. I need you to both stop being intellectuals for the final segment. This is the.
Are you about to talk about whale dicks again? Are we leaning right into?
This is a historical tidbit, but it's the stupidest thing we've talked about on the podcast for a minute, and so I just need us to collectively be in that place. Have you guys heard of a Greek philosopher named Chrysippus?
Was that the Chrysippus who died laughing from
watching
the
dog? No. Yes. Okay.
I have. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's you thought you were gonna get Tyler with like a Greek mythology fact?
Yeah.
Bro, yeah, that's an odd approach.
That's what I'm gonna get John. We can get John. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah,
we can get
me.
John.
Yeah,
okay,
get Tyler with that.
Chrysippus was a Greek philosopher who was like the second president of the school of Stoicism. Right. So there's all these philosophies that have been handed down. But back in the day, it was like a college. You'd be the head professor of this, whatever. Stoicism is like the idea that you should be in control of your emotions and not be moved by the things around you. Like we still use that word. Someone's stoic. Right. That's what that means.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
OK. So keep that in mind with this story. He was the head of the school of Stoicism at the time of his death. And the way he died was during the Olympics. He was hosting basically like a watch party. So he's got all these people over. They're all drunk. Everyone's having a great time. And there's a donkey loose in his courtyard. And the donkey goes over, which was like at the time, obviously, they just had animals walking around and shit. The donkey goes over to a plate full of figs and starts eating the figs. And Chrysippus starts laughing the way that we would laugh at the stupidest joke on Jenkins and Jones, the way you would laugh at something dumb your friend said at 2:30 in the morning. He can't breathe. He's like, the donkey's eating figs. Like, look at this donkey eating figs. he's like laughing uncontrollably. And then he yells out, now give the donkey a drink of pure wine to wash down the figs. Proceeds to He's laughing at a tweet. He's laughing at the Dean's tweet. And he laughs so hard that he literally dies.
What? Oh my God.
The worst joke to die laughing from. I mean, I'm just interested. It's
such a boozy joke, though.
Yeah. That's just kind of like a nice insight into how humor was so fucking different, you know, thousands of years ago. You know what I mean? Like, have y'all seen like that? There was like a Sumerian tablet that was found with like a joke on it about a dog.
The first joke?
Yeah. With like a dog walking into a bar and the dog goat says, I can't see anything. I think I'll open a door. And that's a joke. And then people are like, how the fuck is that funny? But it was probably hilarious fucking 2200 BC. You know what I mean? So, but either way, laughing at a donkey eating, dying from a donkey eating fig. That shit was probably stupid back then, bro. Like, I don't think there's any way around that.
But he was drunk with his homies. And I actually think it shows how universal some dumb things are, because it is a little bit like Twitter. It's like you're hanging out with your friends, laughing at a video of an animal doing something dumb, right? Mm. And then it's like you're laughing, your friend's laughing, you're both making fun of how much the donkey thinks it's a person. And then you're like, make sure it's got some wine to wash down those figs, right?
That's funny to me, though. Like the laughing at the figs, I've been like, I was kind of like, all right, you know what I mean? But that right there, that was funny. What he said, not worth dying over.
one of my
not even close to
one of my favorite jokes that I ever heard in my life, and I fucking figuratively died laughing when I first heard it. I'ma lay it on y'all. It's stupid as fuck. It's simple as hell, and it's fucking hilarious. All right. Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
Because it was dead.
What? I think the visual there too.
Yeah.
Adds to it.
That's a good one.
That's a fucking Norm Macdonald joke is what that is.
Because it was dead, duh.
That's great. You know what I mean? I love that. That's like Norm Macdonald's theory of the perfect joke is a joke whose setup and punchline are exactly the same. And that was like, I think he said the most perfect joke he felt like he ever told was a Weekend Update joke where he said, Julia Roberts is getting divorced from Lyle Lovett because she's Julia Roberts and he's Lyle Lovett.
That is perfect.
He was like, it's the perfect structure of a
joke.
That's
a perfect joke.
Yeah.
That's a perfect joke.
I had one that was similar to Tyler's that I really liked that I just looked up and I found. It was on a birthday card. And I thought it was the funniest thing to put on a birthday card. It's literally in the birthday card section of the card thing at the store. It's like the picture of like a philosopher man on the front. And it says, back in my day, we didn't need Facebook or Twitter. You open it and it says, because we all had cholera. That was the news. And we didn't need social networking to tell us that. And I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever
happy
read.
Birthday.
Exactly. Happy birthday. I was like, that is so funny.
What the fuck? That's right. Because that was the news. Who's going to live or die today?
Right. I just was inspired by the idea that, like, because those are everyone's favorite memories of college or being a young person or whatever, is just laughing at something that, like, you know is the stupidest thing. You could never explain why it was funny, but you were laughing until you felt like your heart was going to explode. I love that 3,000 years ago, people's hearts were literally exploding over shit like that.
Over
like,
dogs eating figs.
Over this motherfucker's eating figs.
I love that he killed
the most learned man. The most learned man in ancient Greece blew his heart up over a donkey eating figs. That's inspirational.
I love that he killed himself with one of his own jokes. Like the get him some wine. That's what's about. I'm a big fan of people who laugh at their own jokes. I think that shit is hilarious. Be a fan of your own work, bro. For real.
Be a fan of your own work.
All right, that's all the time we have for Jenkins and Jones this week. We will be back on Monday to talk more NBA shooty hoops, maybe we'll find a historical figure that Tyler's not aware of.
Hey, good luck, bro.
Good luck.
When Tyler told me he would just at work be hitting random on Wikipedia to find, I'm like, dog, not normal. But good luck, bro. I wish you the best.
He's different.
Definitely.
He's built different. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Built for tough.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's a devil.
That's that.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.